proposal, we had two big proposals whereby one proposal was dealing with addressing the condition of anti-avoidance rules dealing with tax budget offshore. What happened is that in our legislation, we protected the education dealing with tax budget offshore, whereby we find that taxpayers, if you've got the high fees, they need to be treated with interest and then you know, the interest and then you protect your interest in some cases. So what happened is that in this one, we found that taxpayers, like Green Broad, Coronation Fund, they are still having adverts on their internet to say that we've got schemes that are tax beneficial. If you invest in this scheme, you're going to interpose the trust, and the trust will invest in certain shares. And then by doing that, you circumvent the rules whereby you get to the level of interest. So, and the dividend is between interest of 15% instead of interest, which is just 41%. So these rules are trying to close down the schemes that financial services are advertising as tax beneficial. That's what these rules are doing. And then the second rules which is dealing with refinement of third party back shares pre-2012 legitimate transactions. What we found that even though we've got these anti-avoidance rules, they are trampling the transactions that were formed before 2012, which were not aimed at all as anti-avoidance or tax beneficials like the one that are on their internet. So these rules are trying to tone down those anti-avoidance so that those transactions that were entered into before 2012, which are legitimate, which are not advertised for the tax benefit, can be able to restructure and get out of these rules without attracting tax benefits. But we told them that we're not going to give them refund of the amounts that they paid and taxable, but moving forward they'll be okay. And then clause 16, which is section 8F, in this there are hybrid, in this section 8F, I remember when we were doing the briefing, we said that our hybrid debt rules are not helping when companies are in distress. The issue was like the African bank. So whereby now, what you are saying, because they were saying that if the hybrid debt instrument is subject to subordination agreement, because what happens is that auditors will go to the company and then they say that in order for you to be fine, you must enter into a subordination agreement for that debt. So we're saying that if the auditor requires you to enter, I think when we're having briefing, Gloria asked some questions regarding that. So we said that if there is a requirement by the auditor to enter into that subordination agreement, then you'll be okay. So we are here. In this one, we are helping companies in distress. And in clause 17, which is dealing with section 8FA, there we are closing an anti-avoidance measure whereby dealing with cross-border hybrid debt instrument, whereby we found out that when we made those rules, interest income became not taxable either in the foreign country or in South Africa. So we are closing that gap. And then the next one, which is clause 18, amendment to section 9, clarifying source rules for retirement annuity funds, Chris.
Yes, this one is if you work overseas for a while and the payment you make to your pension fund while you work overseas, that proportion of the payment when you receive that pension when you live in South Africa will be tax-free. Yes. And there are some people thought that they could extend this to retirement annuities. But retirement annuities isn't linked to employment. You can just contribute anything into retirement annuity anyway. So some people were taking a chance and saying, no, but I contributed from work while overseas, even though there's no evidence for it. So we're strengthening the legislation to show clearly you can't get that free pension income from a retirement annuity fund. It has to be from a pension or provident fund.
But if what is in your retirement annuity has something to do with that as a benefit.
My pussy is coming.
No, but then in that case, some people, probably I'm one of them, previously you decide not to change your pension, but you shift it to their retirement annuity. Will that be affected?
So if it was for services rendered while overseas, if there's a...
Only applies on cross-border.
Yes.
Hey, you got me a
Again, my policy.
They say, it's taxable.
No, it's not.
I can't do that, to be a good, be a bad, good
politician.
Fine, let's move on. Somebody almost had a heart attack. And she's too young to have that, so I'm glad. Okay,
Yaga, go ahead, please. Okay. Clause 19, section 9, cap C.
Sorry, she said enough, Matt. She's been saying, you know, you're taking 5 minutes to pay. You're dealing with the tax bills with Makosi. The rates bills are Tandi and Internet. But if Mr. Mania is speaking, then I have to speak. That's not true.
As it happens,
is David going to speak?
No.
The way you need Makosi and
Okay. My brother and my sister don't fight.
I fight. I'm teasing.
In clause 9.
I'm teasing.
So go on, Yanga.
In clause 19, section 9, cap C, we did amendments last year whereby we say that. If you held shares for a period of more than 3 years, it's treated as capital instead of revenue. So what you are doing here, we are clarifying the interaction of Section 9C with REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts, so as to clarify the tax treatment of REITs as regards to Section 9 Cap C. And then Clause 20, Section 9D. And this is helping collecting investment schemes to say that collective investment schemes are exempt from the application of the controlled foreign company rules, because what happens is that collection investment schemes, they invest in a foreign fund, and that foreign fund, you don't know who are the investors in that foreign fund, so we're exempting them from Section 9D. And then Section 9H, they are so small. These are like technical corrections because we remove the incorrect cross references to paragraphs A1 and A2 and change them to paragraphs A and B. We are taking out the references. Yeah. And then clause 22. Last year, we introduced rules for the taxation of the deceased estate. So we are making consequential amendments as a result of the changes that you made last year. You see that if we introduce a new legislation similar to the new Section 7 Cap C of the Trust, they are already here saying that there are problems. So next year we're going to bring more amendments, because when it's a new provision, it creates, when it comes to application, there are more problems. And then Clause 23, Section 10 normally deals with the exemptions. So you find that Section 10 and Section 1 deals with the definitions and Section 10 deals with the exemptions. So one of the longest provisions in the Income Tax Act is Section 10. So Section 10, the first clause, there we currently, South Africa is the recipient of official donor financial assistance. So you find that you've got African Bank, World Bank, BRICS Bank. So what happens is that now, before we had the withholding tax on interest, there was no problem, because you get loans from these institutions and then we pay them interest fee. But you find that in these agreements, those African Bank, BRICS Banks, World Bank, they are exempt from taxes. So what we are trying to do, we want to clarify, because now by having withholding tax on interest or having more withholding taxes, there was an issue regarding the interpretation. So we want to clarify that these banks are exempt. So we are putting it in the law. because in terms of the agreement, they are exempt in any way. The agreement forming the African Development Bank exempts the African Development Bank from taxes in South Africa. So we are putting it in the legislation so that it's clear. The second one, Chris, section 10.1
GC. So this is similar to the previous one, but what we found is happening is that if you now work overseas, but you're contributing to your local retirement fund, let's say you work for a private company, a South African company, you go work overseas, you contribute to your local retirement fund, you're still taxed as a resident in South Africa because you haven't been overseas for long enough, so you're still a tax resident here. What happens is that you could get a deduction for those contributions. So any income you have in South Africa, you get a deduction. But according to 10.1 GC2, which we did in 2001, the payout from the...
I know it, right? I'm not even going to have this call.
Yes.
Is there a caucus meeting tomorrow? The women are back. Veteran sanitary dignity.
Thank you. New invention.
I just in daylight so far, you know.
You're talking about something I shouldn't ask questions about.
No,
you can't
ask questions.
If
they are valuable input, if you can make valuable.
I have two daughters. I am very concerned about.
This is the legacy thing. I know when I was in Israel, I was underage, but I know it happened. The lessons, even for the, you know, they came annually for the TV, but and they call you. Suddenly now there's a high risk to be one, because they dropped all those things when they came for you. Remember, they used to test me, and then those who were tested positive, then we had to go to the school, or they could bring the supply to the school. So you always had to go to the school principal or something, child secretary, to give you your
eradicated. Lawyers specialized.
So when they cancelled all the good things, and now we have to spend a lot of money to
do it. And you know, my implications, I think, certain things like food, keeping between.
Because even the 6 months incubation, no, particularly the vacant, they admitted for 6 months. It was an and that's the first thing she actually we need the bed in case they can take the medication from away. The other thing was because they say it makes them as if you have to go every day to the spiritual office. And they know what my answer is at last. You didn't take it to go out. There was water in a glass. You put water in the glass, you get your feet, you saw it in the spiritual office.
Section 10.1, clause 23.1d. here this is the consequential amendment relating to the addressing the circumvention of rules dealing with employee-based share incentive scheme. Here we clarify that those dividends that are regarded as interest in terms of this will not qualify for the dividend exemption. And then the next one, this year we had increase on threshold.
Sorry, I asked for what something I remembered when I got out of the door. I'm supposed to come
yes.
back. You guys, when you are reporting to us, you mentioned BRICS, but BRICS is not here. BRICS.
So the New Development Bank is what you're referring to.
Yeah, new development bank established 15 July 2014. It's about the banks, the financial institutions that are exempt from tax, and also the interest paid to them is also exempt. You can't call it BRICS?
No.
It's called New Development Bank.
It's on page 15.
Yeah.
New Development Bank established on 15 July 2014.
I would like to talk to you about why he's so opposed to the NDP. This.
I thought you were a question.
No, you are always harsh about the NDP. Not now. I think we need a discussion of that.
No, but
they keep raising the amount of allocations and the budgets. You have also got up in the house once and done that.
Okay. The next one is increase on threshold for exemption of employer-provided bursaries. Every year we always look at this threshold to also assist with the education. So we're saying that we're increasing the remuneration proxy to say that previously if you receive remuneration of 250,000, that was the ceiling. So we've increased it to 400,000 so your employer can provide bursaries to your children. If you are receiving remuneration of 400,000, then that bursary will not be regarded as a taxable benefit. And the amount you have increased from 10,000 to 15,000 and then from 30,000 to 40,000. If your remuneration is more than 400,000,
how can you justify it?
It's more on income level.
Wow. You've got an employer and
it's a taxable benefit.
You just hear what I said. By the way, we have some people out there.
I'm sorry if I got a blazer.
I hope of course somebody is listening.
Okay.
Yeah, not repeat. We have then we'll get to use
the age it was
sorry. Yeah, no, this. I'm saying now that you talk about the 400,000 rand. Again, I think I don't know in a different context in the morning. We're talking about employment as one of the key challenges.
Yes.
And the question of education.
Yes, one of the key.
Yeah, one. And at all levels, including people that are earning over 400,000.
Yes.
Generally, I think we're in a crisis as far as education is concerned.
Okay.
One of the things, for instance, which is this country, UNICEF and MAPO, they say for the developmental objectives that we have, the number of PhDs that we have in this country, they are so low, it's not fun.
No, it's negligible.
If you look at the number of Africans, or the black actually they are very significantly non-South African.
Exactly, true.
Nigeria.
In fact, all universities, most universities now.
It's majority Nigeria, Ghana.
South Africa is not South Africa.
Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe. Here we. You go to UCT here.
Now
point,
I understand why I have to go.
The point I'm making is that, again, when it comes to these incentives, I think I would say, if they, in particular, this one doesn't talk to what we are also trying to achieve. I don't know, I just wanted to throw the
question. No, but you see, it is a task of the committee.
Yes.
More and more to alert. It's not for them. Let me say our role. I think we sometimes underestimate the power we have. That's a sensitive issue from capacity. Meaning, we can't with the young team we have, the team straight to the extremely astute team we have, manage these things. I mean, younger now, even more than our generation. You know, You look at your team, right? So basically what I'm saying is, look, I don't see anything wrong. If you put something in the report, we want Trinity to apply its mind to this. Okay. So Zakhele, where are you, my friend? Can you note what the Peter says? Can you talk to him about that at the meeting? He will dictate some ideas to you. Then you put it in the report. We want Trinity. See, this is what I like. When we are proactive, for too long the committee, what it does is we are recipient. We get tax proposals from you, and then we say yes or no, or we're not sure, and then we ask you to go and speak to the stakeholder and so on. Why, I like what Tribune, why can't we be proactive? That's our job, to tell you as Treasury what we think should be the bills that come, what we think should be the policy papers, what we think should be the tax issues that come. So really, let's put that down. We are not happy with it. We for now, we can put something like, given the time and other capacity and other constraints, the committee at this stage is unable to come to a conclusive view. However, what we propose, 1, 2, 3. So Sipisa, you'll speak to that here. We will cover the thing, we'll send it to you late tonight, first thing in the morning. Sorry, is there anything else for questions?
The next one, H, it was a proposal requested by the Department of Human Settlement. They were consolidating all of this national housing finance. They had three companies, so they were consolidating into one company. The two companies were exempt, but that one company was not exempt, so we were exempting so that they can have one financial. The next one is clause 24, Chris, section 10, cap A. Sorry, I've caught you off guard. The proposed addition of paragraph C in subsection 7. Oh, sorry. This one is more of a...
Which page are you on now?
Clause 24.
16.
What happened with the coming into introduction of the Tax Administration Act, we have taken away the commissioner's discretion. So the amendments there are the consequential amendments as a result of the removal of the commissioner's discretion in order to support the self-tax assessment.
So, if you earn more than 400,000 a year,
and your employer gives your children you a bursary, if you earn more, fringe benefit.
And if they give me a bursary, is that a fringe benefit?
No, it's not.
It's part of the employer's developing the skills. Okay, no, that makes sense.
Because what you're trying to avoid is the pool of directors who all get to go.
That's
to
the problem.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is that if now they say we should increase maybe to 800,000,
all the children
of the directors will get free education.
Yes. Okay, is this what the committee is unhappy about?
Yes, the committee wants us to increase this 400,000.
Oh.
That's right.
Because the thing is, it is only 40,000, so... You have to earn less than 400,000, but then we'll only exempt, they'll only knock your fringe benefits for up to
40,000.
So you can't send them to Harvard or whatever. It's just a...
But why don't you try and...
It will assist.
Because we have this thing now with the anybody earning over 600,000 or below 600,000. Fees do not go up, so there should be...
So we can maybe increase...
The Minister of Higher Education and Training basically sets a level for what middle class is.
We
don't know where he got that from. No, I also don't know. No, remember there's that team of with Susan Martin as well.
I know, both of them.
Yes.
And they're defining the middle class of the country.
Okay, Susan.
No, because I was quite surprised. That's not middle class. That's quite
higher
middle class.
If you have a look at the revenue statistics that Treasury and SARS publish every year, you can get breakdown the income earnings and so on.
Yes.
You're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. Yes.
Just
how do you treat university lecturers whose kids see...
Because I remember 600, it's not, it's income per household, not for a single person.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that would be different.
Yes, it's income per household, it's not income per individual.
That's interesting.
How do you treat the universities? Because you pay 10% or something, it's for the admin fees, really.
Yeah, that's interesting. The university lecturers who have their kids.
It's a taxable fringe benefit, yes.
Yeah, but that's not the bursary. It's not the bursary.
It's not a bursary.
You're getting a lower price. That's an interesting one.
My brother was dead.
If you're going to take that away, no one wants to be a lecturer anymore.
No, it's a taxable fringe benefit.
Oh, is it a taxable fringe already?
Well, I can't see what.
I think it is. Because remember, you are doing it.
Yes. I'm doing it as part of my motivation to work there.
Yeah, it's an imagination because you would be paying, but then you're paying less. They just come.
Because what happened is that when my father was at UNIDRA, they say that you can go. And you can go in UNIDRA, but if the course is not in UNIDRA, you can go anywhere in South Africa.
Yeah.
If the University of Transkei does not offer that course,
yeah,
then you can go anywhere in South Africa, then they pay for it.
No, that's the benefit,
because
yeah.
You only pay for maybe 10% or 15%.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the 400 could probably go higher. I mean, the 40,000 could also go higher.
I think it's okay to go higher, get to 600,000. But 400,000, remember, is per taxpayer here.
Yeah.
The 600,000 is per household.
It's per household, yes.
So we can't.
Yeah, you can't compare. It's apples and pears.
No, the committee must be careful of this.
Yeah. Well, they get. This is what I said this morning about half-baked reports, because you get this kind of sudden political rhetoric coming out and then it finds its way into a report.
Okay, so here's the catch.
Yeah.
In the case of rendering any such service as conduct, that the cost to the employer of rendering such service or having such service rendered, that the cost to the employer, not the cost to the employer of
Then all the universities will have to have an agreement. Because if they can go anywhere.
But you're employed by the state, you need to declare it, and you need permission if you do remunerative work, right? But if I start a consultancy, this is the classic thing, I start a consultancy, I do a loan agreement for the consultancy to buy a computer and this and that. Whatever I earn goes into the consultancy, and they pay me my loan back as and when required. That's treated as income by the tax. It's not going to be. So in other words, I will need my employer's permission for that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I just wonder if my employer will look at that and say, but you need permission for that. You can't do that. I will. Eh?
Now I have to obey.
Not with our secretary, I won't get away.
But this cost thing,
and
it's
not going
to
help me. I hear what you're saying. When you are in the same.
We try that, we can point to a benefit,
a market value.
But the problem very frequently is how do you work out what the benefit is?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the seventh schedule was, because technically, we would apply to tax. We have a 7-figure account from those who make money to me. You get a company cost.
But if I have a role to play, the benefit of driving a role to play, that's much more than the benefit of driving a mission. Both get